distribute food among the mourners. So that's why His Eminence Grand Ayatollah Khamenei says that in itself, buying or selling is not haram. But it's advisable that one attends to taking part in commemorative gatherings and does not deprive himself of the magnificent reward promised for Azadari.
Mm-hmm. For the morning. Thank you very much. Thank you, my dear listeners, for listening to your own program, Islamic Laws, on RIB English Radio. With me, Muhammad Javad, the host of this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker, and the rest of the crew, which farewell. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
This is the love has dyed me in blood. Lord, I'm wise, neither mad. Your love caused me all the joy, took my heart and made fond of it. Desired to kill. Come and see what love has done to me. Come and see what love has done to me. Got me deeply involved in despair. Come and see what love has done to me. Come and see what love has done to me. Got me deeply involved in this pain. Now and then, like the winds I blow. Now and then, like the roads I go. Now and then, like the floods I flow. I'm Yunus, mystic of sorrow, suffering wounds from top to toe. In the hands of beloved, I write in woe. Come and see what love has done to me. Come and see what love has done to me. Got me deeply in woe. In this pain, come and see
Kenya, and a big welcome to this week's edition of Africa Today.
Stay tuned with Africa Today.
Africa Today.
Africa did not stand by amid the Israeli and U.S. aggression on Iran. It rose not in silence, but in defiance of these criminal regimes. Now, in a world overshadowed by injustice, why is Africa the one reminding the world what justice really sounds like? For more on how African people have stood with Iran amid the unprovoked Israeli and U.S. aggression against the Islamic Republic, we have contacted Sabir Ahmad Jazbey. Now, he is a lawyer, political analyst, and a human rights activist. We are also joined by Karim Fes Zakari. He's also an editor-in-chief of English news service AL24 News, an Algerian public international news channel. For an inside analysis, join us for this week's edition of Africa Today. On June the 13th, 2025, the Israeli regime launched an unprovoked assault on Iran, striking nuclear facilities, civilian infrastructure, and sovereign defenses. The 12-day war that followed claimed the lives of hundreds of civilians, including women, children, nuclear scientists, and military commanders. Now, while Western imperial powers offered silence or support, Africa raised its voice. From street protests to diplomatic halls, a continent long scarred by colonial violence stood united in defiance of aggression. From west to east, statements of condemnation echoed. Governments denounced the strikes as illegal, unjustified, and a direct attack on international law. African civil societies and activists praised Iran's resistance. Pan-African movements exposed the hypocrisy of the West. When a global South nation resists domination, the self-declared defenders of freedom suddenly go quiet. Across the continent, the message is unmistakable. Iran has the right to defend itself. The right to scientific advancement. The right to dignity. Africa has seen this playbook before. Wars of aggression disguised as preemption. Sovereignty punished for independence. These are not new stories. These are old wounds that have been reopened. In community halls and in the streets, Africans are taking a stand, not only for Iran, but for a world where power no longer drowns out principle. This is more than solidarity. It is resistance. It is reawakening. So why is it that Africa, so often dismissed, now stands as one of the last true defenders of international law and Iran's right to resist? Julius Malema, a South African politician and Pan-Africanist who is also the founder and leader of the Economic Freedom Fighters Party, has strongly expressed solidarity with Iran in the face of the aggression by the Israeli apartheid regime and the U.S. Let's take a listen.
We stand in full solidarity with Iran, a country under siege from Western imperialism, for choosing independence. We reject the bullying of this nation by the United States, Israel, and its allies. And we stand by their right to defend themselves by any means necessary. Let Israel finally have a taste of the devastation and violence it has perpetrated in Gaza. We are anti-imperialists because we understand that our struggle for freedom is bound to the struggle of all oppressed people across the world.
Now, we'll start off with Mr. Sabir Ahmad. We have seen there Mr. Malema saying that Africans reject the bullying of Iran by the United States, Israel, and its allies. It is a strong and clear statement of solidarity with Iran. Now, is this an indication of a new movement where forward-thinking African leaders are taking back the moral right to determine justice and self-defense independently of Western endorsement?
That's a very good question, my brother. If you remember who the aggressor was, who the aggressor is, and who the aggressor remains in this war between Israel and Iran, it was Israel that launched a strike against Iran. That followed with the Iran's rapid response of over 250 drones in one movement against Israel that destroyed the myth of the so-called Iron Dome. And you remember this was followed also by an aggression from America that launched those B-52 bombers to knock out, knock out the three power state nuclear sites in Natanz and among other areas. What would you expect? What does the world expect Iran to do? To sit down to do nothing? We all know that Mr. Trump desires regime change. We all know that this is the mantra of Mr. Netanyahu. It cannot be allowed for a one-sided perception that Iran is the aggressor, Iran is out to destroy Israel. Iran has never attacked Israel except in self-defense. So it is preposterous to even suggest that Iran is the aggressor. But therefore, when Mr. Malema talks about the right of self-defense, every African civilian in the know supports that thesis, including the likes of Professor Patrice Lumumba and various other scientists, and our own very own president of South Africa, President Ramaphosa.
Now, Algeria's Ministry of Foreign Affairs also strongly condemned Israeli regime's strikes on Iran as a violation of international law, and the UN Charter calling for the UN Security Council to intervene. Foreign Minister Ahmed Attaf, via official channels and press outlets, emphasized Algeria's unwavering support for Iran's right to defend itself based on UN Charter and also Global South values. Now, let's bring in Karim Fes in Algiers. What is the fundamental factor behind Algeria's strong pro-Iran stance?
This position flows naturally from Algeria's own liberation legacy, as you know, having endured French colonial violence for 132 years. Algiers sees every breach of sovereignty as part of the same continuum. Yet, at street level, we can see among opposition figures, for example, and diasporic communities, the language shifts from legalism to moral urgency.
The African Union expressed grave concern on Friday after Israel struck some 100 targets in Iran, including Tehran's nuclear and military sites. The chairperson of the African Union Commission, Mahmoud Ali Youssef, expresses grave concern over reports of an Israeli airstrike on Iran and the ensuing escalation of hostilities in the Middle East, it said in a statement. The African Union is clearly out of touch with the African masses in the issue. The African Union's relatively restrained response to Israel's massive aggression on Iran is seen by some analysts as failure to defend a global South nation under attack.
Now, in a speech delivered in Fez, Abdellah Ben Kiran, Secretary General of Morocco's Justice and Development Party, voiced his solidarity with Iran in defending itself following the Israeli regime's aggression. Now, this is quite significant considering that this was the ruling party of Morocco from 2011 to 2021, and also against the backdrop of frosty ties between Iran and Morocco. Now, Mr. Karim Fes, will the monarchy in Morocco listen to the voices of the masses and abandon shameful ties with their genocidal Israeli apartheid regime?
Well, this is a very complicated and interesting question at the same time. So, despite, for example, the rallies that we have seen in Ben Kiran's stirring rhetoric in Fas City, where he insisted saying with Morocco against Iran and with Iran against Israel and so on and so forth, So all this is underscoring Islamic solidarity while affirming Moroccan interests at the same time. So the monarchy's strategic calculus remains unchanged, according to what I can see. Morocco's 2020 Abraham Accords tied the United States' recognition of occupied Western Sahara status to security and intelligence cooperation with the Zionist entity, yielding hints military intelligence gains, access to Israeli tech for counterterrorism, notably against the Polisario units along the Sahara front.
The Pan-Africanist All African People's Revolutionary Party recently released a statement saying, "We stand with Iran." Now, this Pan-Africanist movement condemned Israeli strikes on Iran, labeling them illegal and criminal. Kemi Seba is a well-known activist for his staunch anti-Zionist and anti-imperialist views, and his network has amplified solidarity posts framing Israeli actions as neo-colonial aggression and supportive of Iran's stance. Seba and other Pan-Africanist networks are calling Israeli regime's illegal strikes on Iran also a form of neo-colonial aggression. Now, Mr. Ahmad, how does this framing resonate with African experiences of occupation, resource theft, and imperialist warfare?
That's a very good question. Africa has always been the center of colonialism and interference. Africa, so what Kem Seba has been saying is nothing new. We in South Africa have been making this statement since the early 60s, well before that, but actually it crystallized in 60s if you look at the statements of Robert Sobukwe, Nelson Mandela, and the other stalwarts of the African liberation struggle. What is important for us to note that without Africa, if Africa fell, the Pacific West was, and this was a rhetoric carried throughout the discourse, if Africa swayed itself, would the communist world, then the price of minerals in Africa would obviously be denied to the Western world. And it is for that reason where you had interference of the grotesque nature instigated by the CIA, MI6, MI5, and all the Western intelligence organizations.
Now, thank you for that, Mr. Ahmad. We now take a short break before we continue our program on how Africa is standing with Iran in the face of the aggression by the Israeli regime and the U.S. Stay with us.
You're listening to Africa Today. Africa Today is an analytical weekly review of political, economic, and social events in Africa, the world's second largest continent. The series is broadcast every week on Saturdays and Sundays by IRIB English Radio.
Welcome back. Kenya's former Prime Minister Raila Odinga has called on world leaders to break their silence and take a stand on the Israeli regime's aggression on Iran, warning of a looming global war. Now, this senior African politician said that Israel had carried out an unprovoked attack on Iran, followed by illegal strikes involving the U.S. He criticized these actions, saying they undermine peace and could ignite wider conflict. Let's take a listen.
We are in a, all on the brink of a third world war. So this is a time when all humanity must come together and prevent a third war from happening. This is not a time to be neutral. It's a time for people to take positions in this. You've seen what has been happening in Gaza. For a long time, innocent people, women, children, have been bombed and killed by Israel. All this time, even around this time, many Palestinians are being killed and so on. This is an act that must be condemned. And then now, what has happened today, there was unprovoked attack on Iran. This is the crux of it. People are silent. Unprovoked attack by Iran, by Israel on Iran. And the U.S. also has followed and bombed Iran. We are saying this is not right. We are telling warmongers to stop so that there can be peace. And we need now actually a permanent solution to the Palestinian issue. And the solution is just to have one free Palestinian territory. This is what will resolve this issue here. This is my position as a person. And this is our position also as ODM. 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 ODM.
Well, that's a profound statement by Mr. Odinga, Kenya's former prime minister, calling on the warmongers to stop their aggression. Now, Mr. Karim Fest, what are your thoughts on this?
His framing resonates powerfully in Muslim majority and leftist African circles, where fears of spillover, food insecurity, jihadist recruitment are actually acute. So yet, maybe across the continent, public and especially state reactions, they may diverge. So Muslim majority nations, for example, Algeria, Sudan, Egypt, may be vocal. They have these vocal condemnations tying Middle East stability to African security. However, Christian majority or Francophone states, example, Cameroon, Cote d'Ivoire, they may be cautious when it comes to statements urging restraint without direct blame. Of course, natural pro-Western capitals, example Ghana, Rwanda, they may have this diplomatic silence or generic, let's say, appeals for dialogue. Now, Odinga's de-escalation message, according to what I see it, aligns with widespread popular anxieties.
The Pan-Africanist All-African People's Revolutionary Party recently released a statement saying, "We stand with Iran." This Pan-Africanist movement condemned Israel's strikes on Iran, labeling them illegal and criminal. Kemi Seba, a well-known for staunch anti-Zionist and anti-imperialist views, his network has amplified solidarity posts, framing Israel's actions as neo-colonial aggression, supportive of Iran's stance. Kemi Seba and Pan-Africanist networks are calling Israel's strikes on Iran a form of neo-colonial aggression. This assertion resonates with African experiences of occupation, resource theft, and imperialist warfare.
Now, prominent Kenyan human rights lawyer Dr. Miguna Miguna posted a statement on X stating that President Donald Trump is a fascist and by far the most racist and genocidal president the U.S. has had. Now, he added that Trump and Netanyahu are terrorists. This Kenyan lawyer also pointed out that Iran and other countries have the right to nuclear science, technology, and energy programs. Now, in light of ongoing Western double standards, Mr. Ahmad, do you agree with Mr. Miguna's bold assessment and his support for Iran's peaceful nuclear program?
Africa has always been the center of colonialism and interference. Africa. So what Kim Seba has been saying is nothing new. We in South Africa have been making this statement since the early 60s. well before that, but actually it crystallized in the 60s. If you look at the statements of Robert Sobukwe, Nelson Mandela, and the other stalwarts of the African liberation struggle.
Sheikh Ebrahim Zakzaki, the leader of Nigeria's Islamic movement, says Iran is well within its rights to defend itself from Israeli aggression, blasting Western governments for their silence and double standards on the attacks against the Islamic Republic.
And they don't allow any inspectors to inspect their own nuclear sites. And it's a known fact that they have nuclear weapons, you know, even though they don't declare it. But they don't allow anybody to inspect. Why? What is their business now attacking Iranian nuclear installations? And what is more, they also, by covert operation, assassinated military and leaders and scientists and university dons in their own residential areas, in their own homes, in the residential area. The clear attack on residential area, not military at all. You can't attack a scientist in his house and call it military. It's a science thing. Even if general staying in his house is not a military target. Now they murdered these people in cold blood.
The Nigerian government also strongly condemned the Israeli regime's provocative aggression on Iran, labeling it an escalation of hostilities and called for adherence to international law. Nigeria is one of the few African countries to openly condemn the Israeli regime. Now, Mr. Karim, do you see this as a subtle shift in the country's foreign policy?
Well, the language closely parallels Algeria's own UN Center of Appeals, as I have mentioned earlier. However, this strong wording must maybe a calibrated realignment, let's say, rather than a wholesale foreign policy overhaul. Nigeria, Africa's demographically largest state and home to over 50% of Muslims, must balance domestic religious pressures with long-standing security and trade ties to the Zionist entity and the U.S. for that matter, by publicly siding with the Global South consensus. Abuja signals leadership in non-aligned forums without maybe jeopardizing critical intelligence, cooperation, military assistance, or diaspora remittances from the Zionist entity. So three, perhaps, drivers can explain the shift that we can see with this country. Domestic mobilization, perhaps the grassroots protests and influential Islamic groups that are demanding solidarity with Iran as part of the broader Muslim majority sentiment.
The Pan-African Pyramid and Pan-African Movement Uganda chapter formally visited the Iranian embassy in Kampala, issuing a strong statement condemning Israel and the U.S. as aggressors. In it, they declared solidarity with the Iranian people and framed the conflict as a fight against universal injustice and imperialism. A child buried in Gaza, Tel Aviv, or Tehran is equally worthy of mourning. Genuine peace is born not from bombs, but from honest dialogue, justice, and truth.
Now, Mr. Karim, you have the last word. With movements in Uganda and elsewhere declaring solidarity with Iran, and in our seeing the U.S.-Israeli aggression, are we witnessing a rebirth of an Pan-African movement, anti-imperialist foreign policy rooted in historic non-alignment in Africa?
Very good question indeed. So the Pan-African Pyramid and Uganda's Pan-African Movement delegates visited Iran's embassy in Kampala, denouncing the Zionist entity and the U.S. as aggressors, and they were proclaiming solidarity with the Iranian people. A child buried in Gaza, Tel Aviv, or Tehran is equally worthy of mourning. So this symbolic act, let's say, resurrects the very founding ethos, linking, for example, the African liberation struggles with global anti-colonial movements. Of course, state responses across Africa may remain uneven. While Algeria Algeria, South Africa, and Nigeria have issued pointed condemnations. Capitals such as Rwanda, maybe Ghana, still maintain diplomatic neutrality, issuing bland calls for restraint, and Kenya perhaps limits itself to citizen safety advisories and so on and so forth. So the strength of this revived non-aligned impulse lies in this burgeoning, let's say, online networks, university campuses, and youth coalitions that frame Middle East conflicts through African liberation paradigms.
Well, thanks for that. Unfortunately, our time is over for now. I'd like to thank our guests, Saber Ahmad Jazbai and Karim Fez Zakari, for their incisive analysis. That's it for this week's edition of Africa Today. From me, Mubarak Kenya, and the entire crew, it's goodbye for now.
We are with you. What about you? Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
أدعوتك ربي بقرآن جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان. ودعوتك ربي بقرآن.
In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. I'm your host Mahdi, and as always, we are joined by Quran expert, dear brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum assalam, brother Mahdi, and Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of this program. I'm really glad to be with you, as always.
Thank you, brother. Well, dear audience, as you may know, the program Let's Recite the Quran consists of several Quranic parts. First, we're going to talk about a famous Quran reciter. Then we're going to listen to a recitation by that reciter. And after it, Brother Muhammad will analyze that recitation. So please stay tuned. Today we are going to listen to a recitation by Sheikh Mustafa Ismail, a prominent master of Quran recitation, which was born in Egypt in 1905 and passed away in 1978 at the age of 73. He's entitled Malikul Qurra, which means the king of reciters. He had a unique style. He employed Arabic maqamat or melodies to illustrate the words of Allah to the listener, and he moved easily between maqamat and never went off tune. Many famous reciters were influenced by the style of Sheikh Mustafa Ismail, such as Sheikh Hamdi Zamil, Sheikh Raghib Mustafa Galwash, and Sheikh Ahmad Nu'aina. Ayatollah Khamenei, the leader of Islamic Republic of Iran, really likes the recitations of Sheikh Mustafa Ismail, and he has advised Quran reciters to follow his style. Now, dear audience, let's listen to the recitation of Sheikh Mustafa Ismail reciting verses 41 to 45 of Surah Al-Qaf. Let's enjoy it. Dear friends, you're listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran, and what you just listened to was recitation of verses 41 to 45 of Surah Al-Qaf, recited by Sheikh Mustafa Ismail. And now, Brother Muhammad, let's talk about this beautiful recitation.
Sure. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Just like you said at the beginning, while you were introducing Sheikh Mustafa Ismail, he is known as Malikul Qurra. And of course, he has some other titles such as Akbarul Qurra, the greatest reciter, or the greatest of reciters. And there are different reasons for this, that he is known as Akbarul Qurra. The first reason is the way that he uses the maqamat. He plays around with the maqamat, the melodies, the tones, the intonation, in order to convey the meaning. And another reason is his unique style. Okay?
Yes.
He also has good tajweed, like most Egyptian reciters. But the main reason is his lahn. We have two concepts in Quran recitation. We have saut, which means good voice, having a good voice, and you know, reciting the Quran, not going off tune. This is saut, and having a, you know, the nature of your voice being beautiful. Yes. This is part of saut, something that is inborn, it's God-given. Some reciters just, you know, inherently they have a really good voice.
Like Abdul Basit.
Exactly. Or, for example, Muhammad Abdul Aziz Hassan also had a very good voice.
Mm-hmm.
But Sheikh Mustafa Ismail, he does not have a clear and, you know, smooth voice compared to Abdul Basit. But his lahn, his way of using the maqamat, okay, because there are different ways that you can use the maqamat. You could just, you know, use the maqamat in a simple way. But Mustafa Ismail, he...
Combines.
No, he uses it in a very intricate and complicated way, which makes it really beautiful. But at the same time, it's easy to learn and imitate the style of Mustafa Ismail, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Sahlul Mumtani'a. It means it's easy to learn, but very difficult to master.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is the style of Mustafa Ismail. And we see that a lot of Egyptian reciters have followed his style. يَوْمَ يَسْمَعُونَ الصَّيْحَ. The sod has istirla. Just like Sheikh Mustafa Ismail, he pronounced the sod very clearly and correctly. يَوْمَ يَسْمَعُونَ الصَّيْحَةَ بِالْحَقِّ. The sod has to be pronounced with thickness. Okay, mm-hmm. You have to pronounce it thickly, heavily. And in order to do this, the root of the tongue is raised and also the mouth opens vertically. الصيحة.
So the place of articulation of seen and sod are the same, is the same.
Exactly, that's another point. Seen and sod, they have the exact same place of articulation, but their manner of articulation and the shape of the tongue is different for pronouncing sod. The place of articulation is the same. The tip of the tongue is in the same place. It's behind the lower front teeth, right? Mm-hmm.
And the head of the tongue.
And the head of the tongue makes a narrow passage.
Yeah.
And whenever the airflow moves through this passage, the sound, the hissing or the whistling sound
is heard.
Of seen, sawed, and zay is heard. So just pronounce a seen with tafkhim and you have a sawed automatically. A sayha. And another thing that was really good about the way that he read this verse was bilhaq. The qaf has tashdeed, has shadda.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to pronounce it with intensity, with emphasis. And also it has qalqala.
Yes.
So you have to do both, with both shadda, the tashdeed, and also qalqala. So how do we do this? You hold the first qaf without releasing it. You release the second qaf with qalqala.
Haq.
بالحق. Okay. ذلك يوم الخروج. And by the way, Sheikh Mustafa Ismail is reciting the riwayah of Khalaf and Hamza because of the sects that he does. Some people might think that these reciters who use different riwayahs are reciting the Quran incorrectly, because when they look at the Quran, they see that, okay, this word has this haraka, why is it that they're reading it with another haraka, for example?
Mm-hmm.
This is not a mistake. This is a different riwayah.
Yes.
Okay. We have different Qurans, okay, with different riwayahs. So the Quran that we have, most of us have, is the riwayah of Hafs and Asim. There are scripts and copies of the Quran with the riwayah, or there may be copies of the Quran in the riwayah of Khalaf and Hamza, which Sheikh Mustafa Ismail is reciting.
You mean they are different? The harakas are different? The meanings
sometimes
are different?
No. The harak, for example, one haraka that was different here was alayhum. In Khalaf and Hamza, instead of saying alayhim, he recites it alayhum.
So the difference is a slight.
No, it doesn't make a difference in the meaning most of the time, okay? But sometimes we have different harakas. For example, sometimes we have tashdeed, sometimes you don't have tashdeed. These are some differences, but essentially the meaning is the same.
Yeah.
And we also know this through the sects. يَوْمَ تَشَقَّقُ الأرض or وما أنت. These are sects, which means you make a pause
in the airflow without taking breath.
Without taking a breath. So this happens whenever you have a saken letter followed by a hamza.
Mm-hmm.
Or whenever you have a long vowel followed by a hamza. This is optional. In this case, it's optional. Whenever you have a long vowel followed by a hamza.
Thank you, Brother Muhammad, and thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio. That was the final part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And don't forget to visit our website, that is parstoday.com. Please click on the tab Call of Islam, and there you can listen to this program as well as other programs of this radio. Until next time, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye. ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان هو القرآن ضياء يملأ الآفاق ونور يبعث الأشواق وفيه محاسن الأخلاق هو القرآن
Standing together, side by side Bracing ourselves, cause it's a rocky ride Governments come and go, they rise and fall. It's we, the people, who should own the ball. Our determination is so strong. Tyrants tremble when we sing this song. Cause in our thousands, in our millions, we are all Palestinians.
Palestinians.
We are waiting for the dawn of light as voices echo. Through the night, from the river to the sea, Palestine will soon be free.
Oh, free.
Listen to the prayer of the people tonight. On the Savior to show them light. Rise up, it's time for you and I to shine. Chanting free, free Palestine. Let's all rise to the occasion. Ending Zionist occupation. Let's all ring the bells of freedom. Chanting free, free Palestine. Oh, hear the cries beneath the stars. There's no peace. When there's no justice, say it, free, free Palestine, viva, viva Palestina, hurra, hurra Palestine, zindabad Palestine,
free, free Palestine, viva, viva Palestina, hurra, hurra Palestine, zindabad Palestine.
Cause we are waiting for the dawn of light as voices echo through the night from the river to the sea. Palestine will soon be free. We are waiting for the dawn of light as voices echo through
greetings once again, dear listeners, and thank you very much for listening to Iran Radio, coming to you from Tehran, the capital of the Islamic Republic of Iran. Let's take a quick look at what's coming up next on today's broadcast. We begin with A to Z of Life. After that, we present a specially selected edition of Radio Productions. Then stay tuned for Foresight, hosted by Sayyid Shahryar Naqvi. This enlightening program features prominent English-speaking scholars from across the Islamic world, focusing on the practical dimensions of worship and servitude to Allah, all within the context of modern-day challenges. It's an invitation to explore the intersection of faith and real-life responsibility. And finally, we bring you Ulema's speech. Coming up next, A to Z of Life. Stay with us. There is much to discover.
This is A to Z. An introduction into an Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, all for Allah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, welcome to A to Z here on Iron Bangladesh Radio with me, Sister Zainab. And the topic of all for Allah is, there's different sorts of concepts that are at play here when we say everything is for Allah. Obviously, this is about piety and just gaining proximity to Allah. It's about having trust in Allah. It's about tawakkul. It's about the love of God. And of course, ultimately, it's also about non-attachment to this temporary life and everything in this temporary life, because, after all, we can't take anything with us from this temporary life, neither people nor things. The only thing we can take, basically send ahead of us to the hereafter, inshallah, are deeds and sort of, in a sense, anything good that we do or say. So, but first I'm going to talk about a particular way of looking at things that one of the martyrs from the Holy Defense said, but then the martyr Manocher Mordek. So his particular way of looking at things was, according to his wife, she said that he was always looking on the bright side. And he would say to her that if a person was honest with God in all affairs, and even if that person is then sleeping and laughing and eating for the sake of Allah, everything will be fine. And maybe this sounds familiar to you, because obviously, especially in the month of Ramadan, we're told that everything we do in the month of Ramadan is for the sake of Allah, especially. And so even our sleep is considered worship. And so maybe this is also a way of looking at things that we need to sort of just focus on a bit more now. Welcome back to A to Z here on Arab English Radio, me, Sister Zainab. And also I'm talking about this idea that we do everything for Allah. So this, in a sense, this of love for Allah. And obviously the martyr from the Holy Defense Parliament, Manocher Mordek, he had explained this idea that because he was always positive and looking the bright side of things, and he said that if we devote everything we do, our sleep, our eating, our drinking, every single action, if we devote everything for the sake of Allah, everything will be fine. And obviously the martyrs, we know, the martyrs, our prophets, the imams, they achieve, and obviously the martyrs are below, but they themselves also, although being normal, very normal human beings, they live like martyrs and achieve martyrdom. And they obviously practice this, they have this certainty, this sort of trust in Allah, that for many of us, this is something we have to work very hard towards. have, but, you know, is this something we can, and, you know, so what can we do if we want to get a bit closer to that? Are there little things we can put into our lives to somehow get a bit closer to achieving this? And I'm sort of thinking, well, you know, we're told to always remember Allah. So remembrance of Allah throughout our days is one of the best things to do. So if we're constantly, whenever we can, just engaged in, you know, dhikr of Allah and just saying Alhamdulillah and Subhanallah, and if we say Allahu Akbar, all these things, remembering Allah, can maybe, well, not maybe, will obviously push us forward on this path a bit more. So we start to understand this more, that everything we do is for the sake of Allah. And then obviously, we observe that around us, that many people do start almost all their actions with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And this is what is recommended to us. So inshallah, we can put a lot more of that into our lives. Because for sure, if we start to do that, it will become a habit. And then ultimately, we will form the trait where we really are remembering Allah, and we know that we're doing everything for Allah. So I pray that you've gained some reminders from today, and I look forward to welcoming you to another episode of Aid Said here on RIB English Radio, and farewell for now. Thank you very much for listening to this episode of A to Z. And for more information, please also visit our website at www.iranradio.ir.
Things that I've said, no, they don't mean nothing at all. Time just flies by when I'm with the one I love. Even sunlight makes it through the dark in a cold, misty sky. When I'm all alone tonight, you'll be right here by my side. No matter what the world brings, and even if the birds won't sing, better times are on their way, cause I know you're there. And even if the sun won't smile, I know it's been a while since I felt any light, but I know you're there. Good times, they never last, I wish they were around. Their time is past us now, still I haven't made a sound. Some folks are dying.